broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. 21 people were hurt, one critically, in an explosion at a historic hotel in Fort Worth, Texas. The Sandman Signature in the city's downtown was undergoing construction. Craig Trowchek is with the Fort Worth Fire Department.
We have not made 100% determination, but we wanted to make it clear that this was some type of gas explosion. And we're still working on the details of that to figure out what all caused that.
Police say a man killed two people at a Super 8 motel about 20 miles outside of Duluth, Minnesota. KBJR-TV reporter Kara Kopp from Cloquet.
The Cloquet Police Department asked residents to shelter in place after hearing reports of an active shooter at the Super 8. Multiple law enforcement members had their guns drawn and surrounded the Super 8 building. Police later informed us three people were found dead inside the Super 8, one of them being the suspect. As of now, we are not aware of any other injuries or death. But while on scene, I did see a number of police officers looking into nearby vehicles.
The NTSB says it's unclear if a cabin panel that blew off an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 plane was properly attached. United says it has found loose bolts on door plugs of some of its Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets. CBS News correspondent Chris Van Cleve has more.
Those are the bolts that are part of what hold that panel in place. That should be sealed and airtight upon delivery. These planes, from what we hear from sources, it's at least five 737 MAX 9s that United found loose bolts around that panel that came off on the plane.
Severe weather is a possibility overnight in some southern states. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
We've had wind coming all the way across the south, and now we have a tornado watch in effect until 7 a.m. Central Time, and that includes Alabama, the panhandle of Florida, Missouri, and Louisiana.
A family-owned restaurant in Georgia called Jen Chan's is the target of online threats and criticism for charging customers to pay the costs of health insurance for its employees. Correspondent Jim Krasula explains.
The Atlanta business has been charging customers a 4% fee to pay the cost of health insurance, co-owner Emily Chan.
We feel like there's a pretty huge crisis going on with health insurance. No one can afford it.
Chan says the restaurant's cost of group health insurance for its workers has tripled in recent years.
Michigan lived up to its number one ranking, beating number two Washington 34-13 to win the college football playoff title game. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is under a winter storm watch. The heaviest snow is expected in the south and east from the Illinois border to Door County. Places like Milwaukee and Madison might get as much as 11 inches of snow. Green Bay could get a foot. Forecasters say it will be windy, too. Wisconsin Republicans introduced their bill to legalize medical marijuana on Monday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells WISN-TV's Up Front he doesn't want to go down the path to legalizing recreational pot.
We have way too many drugs. We just went through a huge opioid crisis. The last thing that we need is marijuana shops on every street corner of every small town in Wisconsin like we're seeing in Michigan and Illinois. They're not good.
Governor Evers says he would sign a medical marijuana bill into law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packer player sent to the hospital. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs had to be sent to a nearby hospital after taking a hit against the Bears Sunday night that left him coughing up blood on the sidelines. Matt LaFleur with an update on Doubs, listed with a chest injury.
This morning, it seems to be he's doing better, but he'll be day-to-day, I would say.
Did you go to the hospital to get checked out?
Yes, he did.
Is he out now? Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The Packers play the Cowboys Sunday in Dallas. College football. The Michigan Wolverines are national champions. They beat Washington last night 34-13. It's the first national title for Michigan since 1997 when one of their players, Charles Woodson, won the Heisman Trophy. NBA. The Bucks with another loss at home, 132-116. The Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on how the Jazz kept finding open shots.
You know, they were just shooting behind our switches, you know, and that's something we stress, you know, being physical, pushing up, switch under. You know, we dug ourselves in a hole, but we kept fighting.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. A little bit of a mix of freezing drizzle and snow to all snow overnight, with temperatures holding steady in the lower 30s. Any kind of accumulation, an inch or less. During the day Tuesday, 3 to 7 inches, highs in the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. I want to remind you to download the Civic Media app. Greg Bach, it is a wonderful app. It's a special app. And while we can't say it's going to change the entire course of your life for the better, we can say it shouldn't make it worse.
Yep. Unofficial and unsanctioned by Civic Media and Civic Media Holdings, they have said to us, and I report back, please stop saying that. It makes our app seem weird.
But you can call or text directly from the app.
That's right, and it's free.
And it's free. All right. There is a new measure being circulated that would basically change the way kids who are attending college here from out of state would be voting. Republicans have supported a proposal providing all first-year students with information on how to vote absentee in their home states. So joining us to explain a little bit more about this is E.W. Madison, a political science professor, Barry Burden. Good morning, Barry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Barry, this sounds like it's an effort to make things easier. At the same time, it also sounds like it would make things really, really confusing. How exactly would this all work?
Yeah, it's kind of Midwestern passive aggressiveness built into a piece of legislation.
Well, if so you wanna, I guess if you wanna, I don't know if you wanna.
It seems friendly and supportive on the surface. It's providing students with information about how to vote absentee out of state. It would require all of the UW campuses to provide absentee voting information to all of their first year students, based on their home states. So the universities would need to maintain information about 50 states' voting systems and the forms for all those states and the instructions, figure out where all the students are from and provide them with the information. The bill doesn't say that this should happen at private universities. It's only at UWs.
Hmm.
It also does not inform students who are from Wisconsin originally about how to vote absentee here. So it really is encouraging or diverting students to say, hey, we would like you to, or we're going to encourage you to vote other places. And it also doesn't inform them they perfectly well have the right to vote in Wisconsin, as many of them do.
This seems troublesome in numerous different ways, especially when we've heard from some on the Republican side bemoaning the turnout on college campuses, especially after the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz to the Supreme Court. And what was it, Cleta Mitchell, who said, yeah, these college kids just can roll out of bed and go down to their local campus and vote, and that just shouldn't be happening. This feels like a less obvious way to make things more difficult for kids on campus to vote, quite honestly, and at least more confusing.
Yeah, it's nothing I've seen before. It's not actually changing the election rules in any way. It's just providing kind of selective information to students. Again, only at the UWs, at the public schools, not at the privates. And it's sort of a sin of omission, not telling them you have the right to vote either where your parents live, if you came from their place, or here on your college campus, and you can pick. It also doesn't think about other groups that spend part of the year in Wisconsin and part elsewhere, like our snowbirds, who may spend time in Florida or Arizona during the winter and come back in the summer. Why not also send them information telling them how they can vote absentee in Florida if that's where they have another home? So it's just this kind of weirdly strategic focus on one group of students at one set of universities in the state.
And it really sounds very burdensome on the UW system to have to monitor and have everything in place for all 50 states and to individually craft this for each individual student. That just seems
expensive
and not particularly workable.
It would be an unfunded mandate on public universities to have, I think the bill says you need to have the application for absentee ballot available for every state and provide clear instructions. So the universities might actually need to write legal instructions for every state. So you've then got lawyers and others involved to figure out how to tell a student who might want to vote absentee in Maryland, how they would do that, here are the forms. Someone's going to have to be in charge of this at every UW campus, I suppose. So you're going to create a kind of small bureaucracy to administer it. It's, you know, it's an unusual approach I have not seen elsewhere.
You know, one thing I'm noticing here, and as you said, it's an unfunded mandate, not a change, like it's not a law going into place. But I'm thinking of voter ID. There was not a problem. Not an overwhelming problem, but then they said, we got to do voter ID because we got to protect our elections. Now they're doing this thing that's going to cost time and money, and it's going to cause problems because you imagine, as Jane said, a college kid rolling up in their sweatpants and their Crocs ready to vote, and you say, sorry, you can't vote here, or you got to do this or that. This is creating a whole new measure to address nothing that's a problem.
Yeah, I think our students, you know, being a college professor and interacting with them, they do a pretty good job of figuring out where they want to vote and navigating the process. I'll say it's very challenging for them because they're just turning 18. They're aging into the voting experience for the first time. And that first election when they're eligible to vote, many of them are now away from home and have to navigate voter ID requirements, absentee voting laws, residency requirements, whatever it is, depending on whether they want to vote in Wisconsin or someplace else. So I think we ought to be helping students by encouraging them to navigate that process. Yeah. And this bill does it, again, in a kind of passive-aggressive way by pointing to other places and saying, hey, we think you ought to be voting there, and here's some stuff. Please go do that.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden is here, and we're talking about a new proposal supported by some Wisconsin Republicans that would require all first-year students get information on how they can vote absentee in their home states, not necessarily information about how they can vote absentee in Wisconsin. And some are speculating this is yet merely another effort to prevent young people from finding it easy to vote. Professor Burden, from what you said, again, applying this only to the public universities, not the private universities, is there a legal question here? How is that fair?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I don't know that the bill's sponsor consulted with lawyers or anyone else as he was putting this together. You know, the legislature might say, well, we have a special domain over public universities. We fund them. They are creatures of the state. And so it makes most sense for us to handle things there. And these universities can actually figure out who's a resident and who's not based on whether they're paying resident tuition or non-resident tuition. So that is sort of stuck in the craw of some state legislators, that there are students who are paying non-resident tuition, because their home, their parents' home typically is out of state, but they're eligible to vote in state. That's just how the laws work. I didn't write them, but it's how things come together. And so this is sort of, I think, focusing on that group. I don't know if it would pass legal muster, not having the privates in there.
And aren't there concerns too, Professor Burden? I mean, we would like a lot of our college graduates to stay in Wisconsin. That's part of our problem with not, you know, our workforce issues and population growth or lack of population growth. We want to encourage these kids to stay when they graduate and become part of the Wisconsin workforce. And some are seeing this as a way to, why would you not encourage them to become more of the Wisconsin community while they're going to school here?
Yeah, it can be a way to connect students to the community. You know, the sponsor of the bill says he's concerned that students are not connected to the community and he doesn't want them voting on local matters. But it seems to me like that gets it the wrong way around, that to encourage students to get to know their communities and become invested, you allow them to have the right to vote and participate. We have students in Madison, for example, who serve on the city council or on the county board or hold other offices and, you know, actually making policy. So having the right to vote seems like a reasonable thing to go along with that.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, this sounds like another brilliant Republican idea, but they don't like to fund anything. So if we're going to have to write scripts and forms and everything else for 50 states, are they going to be willing to fund that?
Oh, Cindy, details, details. I mean, come on. What? No, I know exactly what you're saying, it would not be inexpensive. And it sounds like administratively, this would really be a pain in the neck. And it almost seems, dare I sound cynical, designed that way to make things difficult and confusing. Thank you, Cindy, for calling. Really appreciate it. What do you think, Professor Burden?
Again, maybe the authors of the bill have this in mind, or maybe they've not thought about this, but either way, it seems like a problem that it's demanding of our university system at a time when most of our campuses are in really serious financial troubles, losing students and laying off faculty and freezing hiring, to now engage in this extra administrative process just to divert student voting to other states.
Well, one thing that, you know, I'm confident in, I'll have some positivity on, is that if they're going to do this, that the students themselves will probably get the information out there as well, help each other to say, all right, this is what you need to do. Here are the questions you need to ask, or here are the answers, like, to make the process easier. Because, you know, young people will start to get politically involved at that point, and they'll want to make sure people can vote, especially people of their age. So I'm hoping this kind of unleashes the politically minded, like, 18 to 20 year olds who are saying, oh, we'll help with this and we'll make sure there are no problems whatsoever, or mitigate them at least.
Yeah, I think that kind of thing is actually necessary because, again, our students who are turning 18 are just becoming eligible. They've never done this before. Voting is a pretty foreign process. It's kind of strange, the kind of forms and documents you need. It's stuff for interacting with agencies they've never interacted with before. Many of them don't understand that you need to get registered in advance in most states. You can't do it on election day, or that's a separate process from getting an ID to vote. So there's kind of this multi-stage set of processes that folks have to figure out. Hopefully students will help one another.
Professor Burden, can you stay with us for another segment?
You bet.
If you got the time, wonderful. We will continue this conversation. You can join us if you like, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can twist time.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Matinair on air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden is our guest, and we're talking about a new proposal introduced by Wisconsin Republicans that would require all first-year college students be given information on how to vote absentee in their home state. Supporters say it gives non-resident students more information and options. Others say it's an effort to turn away Democratic votes in a very important swing state. And I believe there's reason for those suspicions, especially when we've had some prior Republican officials bemoaning how easy it is for college kids to vote on campus, and we just can't have that unless we like the way they're going to vote, essentially. So Professor Barry Burden is our guest talking about this, how difficult the implementation would be, Professor Burden, and just administratively, what an utter nightmare.
Yeah, I think our campuses like to inform students about their opportunities to vote, how to be involved civically, but the mandate to essentially create an office that would be in charge of staying up to date on 50 states' absentee voting laws as the forms get updated, there are new rules, and states have been tinkering with these things a lot since the pandemic, obviously, so there's just a lot of keeping up that would be required. So you'd need probably a legal expert and some other people to maintain all this stuff. And for some states, it would be electronic forms. And for others, it would be paper forms. And you have to get all of those into the hands of first year UW students, or you'd be in violation of the law as a university. So it would be a tremendous task to undertake.
Gee, one could almost say it feels counterproductive, but maybe that's just me. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Carol from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
You know, the next thing they're going to try to pull is to make all of the Wisconsin residents vote in their home counties. It's ridiculous to me.
It really just seems like they're throwing up as many obstacles as possible in order to make it more difficult to vote, doesn't it, Carol?
Yes, it absolutely does. I mean, just because I went to school at UW-Eau Claire, does that mean that I should have to vote back down in Greene County where I grew up? Well, I never even spent any time there after I started going to school because I did summers other places.
Sure. And I'm sure your experience was not unlike that of many others. Thank you, Carol. Really appreciate the call. 844-967-2789. Professor Burden, Greg said before the break, too, that it does seem like college kids today are pretty sophisticated when it comes to realizing their importance when it comes to voting. And I know, is there a Madison-specific website that students can go to that give them their voting information beyond the MyVoteWI.gov, which is a really useful website, by the way.
Yeah, there is. At the UW-Madison campus, there's a site, vote.wisc.edu. So an easy URL for students to get to know. And it actually has information about voting in Madison, elsewhere in Wisconsin, and about voting in other states. So it provides all the information. But many of our students really do prefer to vote in Madison and Wisconsin. They realize this is a swing state. Their votes matter. They become invested in the politics here. And that site can help them, not just with registration and absentee voting, but also with the voter ID process. As you probably know, the student IDs on the UW-Madison campus don't qualify.
Right.
Out-of-state driver's licenses, if you're from Minnesota, that license doesn't work to prove your identity here. So that site is sort of a catch-all clearinghouse to provide all the information students need.
And it almost sounds like that website actually provides the information that this proposal is calling for, which would make it somewhat redundant.
I would say that information and more.
And more.
more relevant information that students are usually looking for first. And things they may not know. You know, the ID process is new. A lot of students just assume my campus ID would work for voting. It's an ID with my photo on it provided by the state. Seems like it should qualify. Or my license from Illinois out of work, it has my photo and signature and other things on it. But those things don't qualify. So just informing students about what the process is really helpful.
I used to work at a bar, and when I had to explain to young people, like, I know this is your school ID. I know your face is on it, but this isn't what will work. I need more.
Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Well, it seems like just another Republican solution to a problem that doesn't exist, first of all. Secondly, it is pretty clearly designed to put more strain on the university system. Again, this is more of the Republican attempt to do as much damage as they can to public education again, because it doesn't apply to private universities, apparently, to do more damage to public education in Wisconsin. And finally, I'm paraphrasing here, but from the devil's advocates, one of the two guys said something like, Republicans, why don't you make it easier for people to vote in Wisconsin so that they can take advantage of the franchise? And the other co-host answer was very simple, and this is not a fair paraphrase. He stated, because they lose those elections.
Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. Again, it's sure we want people to vote, but only if they're going to vote the way that we like them to vote. At least that certainly feels that way. I would think, too, we would want as many people to be involved in the American process of casting a ballot and encouraging that instead of throwing up all these roadblocks just in order to make it a little bit more difficult. UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden has been our guest. Thank you so very much for your time, Professor Burden. I really appreciate it. We will be keeping an eye on this. I hope we can call on you again.
You bet. Yeah, glad to be here and happy to come back at some point.
Thank you so very much. Stay close. On the way, we have the news. We're going to kick around a little bit of weather. We're going to try and get our civic media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, on to join us tomorrow for another weather and wine segment as we talk about the 8 to 10 inches of snow heading our way. So stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bring some new ones in and we'll start that show again. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If it's a bunch of clowns, you voted in. Election day is coming round again. It's more than you'll allow. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. Bring some new ones in and we'll start the show again. And if you don't like who's in there,
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. United Airlines says it has found loose bolts on door plugs of some of its Boeing 737-9 MAX planes. That after part of an Alaska Airlines plane blew off mid-flight. PR expert Alan Adamson.
There's probably going to be more bad news before there's good news. But all he can do is say, we will do whatever it takes to make sure every plane that is flying with the Boeing name on it is going to be as safe as it's ever been.
Police say a man shot and killed two people at a Super 8 motel outside of Duluth, Minnesota. Wade Rash is with the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office.
There was a report of an active shooter. That turned out to be three deceased individuals at the Super 8 motel.
Much of the country is bracing for severe weather, including Michigan, Oakland County's Craig Bryson.
We anticipate probably having to plow some starting from pre-dawn through the middle of the day or so.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It doesn't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but it does happen. A small earthquake was detected near Crandon Sunday morning. The Crandon Fire Department posted on Facebook about reports of rumbling and shaking in the area. The U.S. Geological Survey confirms it was a 2.5 magnitude quake. Legislative Republicans are proposing a constitutional amendment to limit diversity efforts in Wisconsin. If passed by two consecutive terms of the legislature and approved by voters, local governments and state agencies would be banned from either discriminating against or giving preferential treatment to anyone on the basis of race, sex, ethnicity, or national origin. Last year, Republicans successfully got the universities of Wisconsin to reclassify dozens of DEI positions. Instead of diversity, equity, and inclusion, GOP lawmakers want all hiring decisions to be based on merit, fairness, and equality. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A winter storm warning going into effect. A little bit of a mix of freezing drizzle and snow to all snow overnight, with temperatures holding steady in the lower 30s. Any kind of accumulation, an inch or less. During the day Tuesday, 3 to 7 inches, highs in the lower 30s. It's 30 at our studios.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Dr. Jane Matinier, along with Greg Buck, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Good morning, Green Bay, listening on WGBW. That's right. Good morning, Green Bay. And you can always join us, too, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Was that Ozzy Osbourne, Greg Buck?
Yes.
It
was. Performing with Black Sabbath.
That's what I thought.
With the seminal hit off Black Sabbath, Masters of Reality, a song called Sweet Leaf. And the reason why I chose that song is because we have an update having to do with the Sweet Leaf.
We do. Medical marijuana. This just breaking in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hope Carnop posted this not too long ago, just before the top of the hour, actually. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss today announcing a bill creating a medical marijuana program in state-run dispensaries.
Oh!
Wisconsin, just one of 12 states where recreational or medical marijuana is not available. Governor Evers and other Democrats have called for the legalization of marijuana for both rec and medical use, but have been blocked up to this point by Republican lawmakers. The bill out today would not allow users to smoke it, nor does it pave the way for private dispensaries. Robin Voss says, quote, "The people of Wisconsin have said they want us to try to find solutions for the problems that vex our society. There are very few Republicans that I know, and I would say most employers and even an awful lot of citizens that do not want to see this become an end around to get us toward recreational marijuana."
Hey, live stream people, look at me right now. Robin Voss shouldn't use the word vex in a sentence. Second, he's a liar. I know a lot of Republicans who have no problem with this whatsoever. And third, state-run dispensaries? I don't know, folks. That sounds like communism.
Doesn't it, though?
It smacks of the big state coming in, big government coming in.
Taking over businesses.
Oh, my God. All you small business owners, all you big business owners that fight for your right to business party, where is your outrage? State-run dispensaries?
Governor Evers told reporters last week he would sign a restrictive medical marijuana bill unless Republicans include a poison pill in the measure, like trying to cut taxes or DEI initiatives.
That's what I was expecting.
There's a catch.
Yeah, there's going to be something in there. Catch. Everyone named Gary has to leave Wisconsin. I don't know. Just
something random.
That'd be my Uncle Gary. He's a Gary. He lives here.
Robin Voss says that the measure has the support of at least 50 Republicans in the Assembly, so there would be enough votes to pass it without Democratic votes. There will be hearings in the next few weeks and pass before the Assembly adjourns in February. I have to wonder again, will this include public comments?
Yeah, man, it will. State run, man. That's great, man. Let's just do it together, man. Tony Zimmerman made a comment on the live stream saying he's trying to make Wisconsin a drug cartel. I read that with the necessary comedic inflection I'm sure Tony would want.
Using marijuana for medical purposes with a doctor's approval is very popular. In 2019, that was the only time Marquette University Law School poll posed that question. In 2019, 83% support medical marijuana.
Yes.
So it is vastly, vastly, vastly popular.
But
the plan calls for 5 dispensaries managed by the State Department of Health Services in each Medicaid region. Republicans say this would be the first time a state has run dispensaries. Yes, I believe it would be the first time.
Those lines are going to be insane.
When asked why they supported government-run businesses in this instance.
Yeah.
Voss said marijuana is still illegal under federal law. Quote, "We want to guarantee that law enforcement knows that it's well-controlled and well-documented. Under the measure, people would have to get a doctor's confirmation of their condition, pay a $100 registration fee per year." That sounds like an outlier, too.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, here's the thing. Do you know what's going to happen? Is there anything else? What else do they have to do?
They have to visit a pharmacist at the dispensary to get their script. Only 9 conditions qualify for this. Cancer, glaucoma, severe chronic pain, multiple sclerosis, and terminal illness with life expectancy of less than a year.
Well, I just want to let everyone know that I've just been diagnosed with...
That seems...
extreme.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And dumb. Guess what's going to happen? All those dollars they're going to brag about getting, people are going to take those dollars right back to Michigan and Illinois.
In Illinois.
Where it's easier and simpler and just, I mean, this is not a fix. And now, okay, let me say this.
It's a step.
It's a Band-Aid on a huge gaping wound. That Band-Aid is going to be for the people who do qualify for those things. The people who do qualify for those markers that the state has put forward. Yes, and I hope they can get the help they need. And I hope it's not debilitating towards their finances. But this is ridiculous. This is like, I don't know. It's like asking your parents for something cool. And they get like, well, we get you this version instead. You're like,
oh, the knockoff version.
Oh, you got me the Barbie doll. This is terrible. I hate it.
Again, breaking news this morning in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In an article written by, let me back up to Hope Carnop, about the Republican proposal now for medical marijuana in the state. This measure, however, only covers nine scenarios in which you could qualify, including cancer, glaucoma, severe chronic pain, multiple sclerosis, and a terminal illness with a life expectancy of less than a year. When you compare it to Minnesota, they have 20 medical conditions that are covered, including obstructive sleep apnea, obsessive compulsive disorder, HIV/AIDS, autism spectrum disorder. Patients ages 21 and older can use dried flowers, which is ingested via smoking. There's about 40,000 people that take part in Minnesota's programs. Robin Voss said lawmakers use this as an estimate of how many people they think would take part in Wisconsin. If it gets passed both chambers and is signed by the governor, the program could kick in next year. It will be interesting to see what happens with this. I don't understand why this would not include people who suffer from PTSD. And that was one of my understandings, at least when I had talked to veterans in the past. They wanted to get off the pharmaceuticals because of all of the side effects of all these pharmaceuticals that they were taking.
Guess what? That's why they didn't do it, because those guys are probably in the pockets of pharmaceuticals.
And they would like them to stay that way.
And pharmaceuticals say, hey, don't include them, because we want them to still take our pills, and they're not going to help them. It's going to take their money. And guess what? They're heroes. We don't care. We don't want them to be better.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thank you so much for joining the show. What did you want to say?
Yeah, good morning, guys, gals and guys. You know, this the medical marijuana law and the thing they're doing with campus vote, student voting on public university campuses, it's all this of a kind, and the kind is, they're taking a lot of heat for never doing anything. And they know people want these things. And so what they're doing is they're trying to find a way to narrow it down and say, look, we just passed a marijuana bill. Look, we just passed a student voting bill. That's going to make everything better and easier. But then the devil is in the details in both cases. And it's just so ridiculous. When I was in college, there was such an outcry that about voting. They said, "Well, you can go to Vietnam and get killed, and you can, but you can't drink at 18, and you can't vote at 18." And there was so much pressure for them that both large numbers of people in Congress voted those things into law. And now we've got this, and now we've got this new attempt to make it harder again for students to vote. And a little while ago, a Republican guy said, hey, why don't we change the voting age to 20?
Oh, yeah.
That would be a lot more people.
21.
Remember that?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
It was a Republican.
Yep, it's Vivek Ramaswamy, yeah. who's one of the people running for president. Yeah, so he wants to raise it to 21.
Yeah, and it's like, you really think you could sneak that one back through again? You're going to reverse engineer this and stuff. So this is just an attempt to, hey, look at us. We're pretty forward here. We're pretty, you know, aggressive, if you want to believe that word. And marijuana, they're doing, in other words, on marijuana and abortion rights, and voting and all these things that matter to most of the population of all ages, they're stuck. So they're going to try to find the razor's edge and you know, but make it to their, and same with voting rights in general, you know. Oh, yeah, you can vote absentee, but here's a long list of things you can't do.
Yep.
Or you have to go do this. It's so patently absurd. I just hope people catch on to this.
Well,
and I think the governor would veto the voting bill, and I don't know what he'd do with medical marijuana. He might sign that.
Yeah, he's
a Democrat, and it's better than nothing.
Well, he said that he will. Thank you so much, Ron, and I think you really make a really good point just about they have been so safe in their gerrymandered districts mm-hmm. for over a decade. We don't have to respond to what our constituents want because we will not be held accountable because we're going to get reelected anyway. And now that is no longer the case. So they feel like they have to act like they're responding to the wants of their constituents so they can keep their jobs.
By giving us like, hey, Wisconsinites, we know you wanted that new bike. Here's a wheel. We hope you like this wheel. This wheel is only available through a government store, and if you have cancer, glaucoma, or you're going to be less than a year living, enjoy your wheel.
Yeah, and learn how to unicycle. Yeah. 844-967-2789. Only a couple minutes left. David from San Francisco is on the line. Good morning, David. What did you want to say about this?
Well, yeah, morning. Out here in San Francisco, we had a publisher, a famous one worldwide, William Randolph Hearst.
Ooh.
And he's the guy that got cannabis outlawed, or hemp, basically. I'm originally from St. Louis, and down there at St. Louis U, there was a PhD monograph that came out in 1982 that described the economy before 1927, and it said that hemp was 27% of the economy of the United States was related to hemp. It was paper, it was oils, it was cloth, it was burlap, it was rope, it was silage. If you don't have a lot of cattle up there, but silage is what you feed to your cattle. And that a massive amount of the nation's economy was based upon hemp. And what William Randolph Hearst did, he was first of all the guy that started the Spanish-American War. He published on the front page of his papers that the Maine was bombed by them Cubans, when in fact it turned out that it was a coal fire in the belly of the ship, and it was not mined. But he started the Spanish-American War, and as a reward for starting that war, he was given vast forests. And he didn't know what to do with all those trees, but he knew that if he could outlaw hemp, then he could create a paper industry made out of trees.
Thank you so much, David. We're right up against the clock. I'm very sorry to have to cut you off. I appreciate your calling. We'll keep this going. We just have one more segment. 844-967-2789. The Republicans and Robin Voss unveiling their medical marijuana proposal earlier this morning. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Buck, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. You can call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
It's free.
It's free. And you can also watch and leave a comment if you're watching on StreamYard on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Talking about breaking news this morning from Hope Carnop in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss has presented his medical marijuana proposal for the first time ever. It would only cover 9 medical conditions, and there would be 5 state-run dispensaries managed by the Department of Health Service in each Medicaid region.
I found a nice sound effect to go with what happened when he put down the bill with all the language. This is he said, here's your medical marijuana bill.
This is actual recording.
Yeah, that was record.
Thank you from Robin Voss.
Thank you for submitting that. I appreciate my anonymous sound capturer.
We are taking your calls and your texts about this measure. Sharky is on the line from Racine. Good morning, Sharky. Thanks for joining the show. What do you think?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You betcha. You know, as a younger man, I was known to sit in the bar stool a couple times or 2 times too many. You know, I'd always look at the gambling, and not to switch gears, sir, but you look at the gambling, how that and all that other stuff about gambling, pull tabs, so on and so forth, keeps going out the door. And it's not state run. This is, you know, whatever who's running it, I'm scared to even think about who's running it. But then you go over to the illegal use or the selling of legal marijuana in Wisconsin. You'd have to say sometimes with these people in Madison, it seems like they would probably sell a part of their neighborhood or parts of their family for advantage to their world. I mean, honestly, I don't understand it. I mean, why can't we just be open-minded? And money seems to rule everything, obviously, and it's like, wow.
Well, and I really believe, too, Sharky, thank you so much for calling. And as always, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Like we said before, if they were not at threat of losing their seats, if the gerrymander was going to be secure for another decade, it would be, we don't care what you guys want. We don't need to care what you guys
Absolutely.
Want.
Absolutely. And when it comes to things like cigarettes and alcohol and gambling, there are state controls in place to regulate, to make sure there's nothing, you know, crazy happening, to get the taxes off of them. You could do that, and the state can be a part of it, but does there need to be a state-run building?
Right, state-run dispensaries.
Because what will happen? I mean, Scott Walker was the guy of the Republicans who decided that we didn't need car emission places run by the state anymore, but you want to make this the thing. I think what's going to happen is you'll have those 5, and then the next couple of years, they'll say, all right, we are going to pick, either make 5 more, or we're going to pick specific locations that will be run by people that will the state will work with. And they'll just grow and grow. And then eventually it's just going to be legal, and all this stuff is going to be a waste of time and money.
Wes from Middleton checking in from the 608. The Republicans on this state are clowns. This is not a serious suggestion. Evers should veto it. Let's put together a serious deal. The vast majority of the state wants legal adults and recreational use approved. Let's regulate the industry, get the potentially dangerous knockoff gas station Delta whatever's off the market, and get some of this tax revenue back from our neighbors.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that stuff is everywhere. These
Delta 9, Delta 8.
Whatever that stuff is, that's everywhere.
It's weird. It's synthesized through hemp, so that's why it's legal. And it's a very fine line that it draws. So people will say, well, you can get high. It's like, no, people want to get marijuana. They want to get what they can get in Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa. Oh, and Louisiana, too. I found out Louisiana has it. So, I mean, it's craziness.
Iowa has it.
Iowa.
Texter from the 414. I thought Wisconsinites served their Republican politicians. Our living gods.
You bow down to them.
I feel a shade of snark there. I like that. 608, sounds like the taxpayers lose money on this deal. How much money is it going to take to set up all the state-run systems and stores?
Yes.
Well, and because we know that Republicans love to spend money, it is Robin Voss's money. And after all, what is it, $7
billion
we have?
$7 billion
$7 billion in surplus.
Yep.
They're going to fund this? Well, that's where this $100 per year registration fee is going
to
come in.
I just have a feeling that at the end of the day, people are going to say, to heck with this noise. I'll just go to where I can get it.
I'm just going to go to Illinois.
Yeah. I'm not going to stand in line. Because you think about 5 places in Wisconsin. Imagine how long those lines are going to be. I mean, because...
And the hours you're going to have to take to get there.
Of those points that will be allowed... Mm-hmm. They affect a lot of people in the state.
Oh, absolutely.
So they're going to be in line. Are they going to be open on Sundays? Are they going to be open at night? This is not going to help anybody. And at the end of the day, we're paying for it.
Yes.
Instead, empower local businesses to open their own places, tax and regulate them.
Yes.
And we go through it together and we get some more, a bigger tax revenue base.
Lynn from the 612, Vivek wants to raise the voting age to 25 years. Yes, not 21. I said that incorrectly in our earlier segment when we were talking about this latest Republican proposal on how to encourage out-of-state residents to, you know, go home and vote. We don't need you to vote in Wisconsin. Why would we want college students doing something like that? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. 2789, talking about the news this morning that the Republicans are out with their medical marijuana proposal. Whether or not this will go anywhere, Governor Evers has said that he would sign it, provided there were no poison pills. So whether or not these state-run dispensaries qualify, I guess we will have to wait and see. Stay very close. The news is coming up next, followed by the one and only, the Todd Father, the Todd Alba Show. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for calling and texting and listening. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And players of instrument too. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. That's the best thing you can do.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hey, it's Matt LePay. You're listening to Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball on WFHR, locally grown radio, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM, a Civic Media station. Download our free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Listen to Wisconsin Athletics all season long on your local Civic Media radio station.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the